Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, our guest this week is Nick Duncan, who is the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. Nick, thanks for being with us on Local Matters.
Thank you for having me.
So just an average school day, I guess. Tell us, what was your day like today at Highland Rim Academy?
The day at Highland Rim Academy. Well, for me, it's probably a little less routine than the students and the teachers, as we were just speaking earlier about thinking about our building campaign for our new campus. But so it was a little unorthodox for me, but for our students, a normal day. It's a K-12 school.
Yeah.
And so the students, the younger ones are learning to read and write and going to playtime and having lunch. And the older students, surely discussing great books and ideas and having Socratic discussions and circles, which we're wont to do in our upper school. And the teachers, of course, striving to do their best to partner with parents that are seeking to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we partner with them, using education as a vehicle to come alongside them and help them do that. So it was a run of the mill day for most everybody at Highland Rim today.
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit, but if you had to describe Highland Rim Academy to somebody who doesn't know what it is,
right. How
would you do that?
Right. Well, I would say that Highland Rim Academy is a classical Christian school, mm-hmm. and both of those things are really important to us. So the Christian aspect is what's most important, and we believe the classical piece kind of fits into that mold.
Yeah.
So we start with our statement of faith, which is broad. I say it's merely Christian, mm-hmm. so it's meant to be broad and encompassing of a lot of different denominational traditions and backgrounds. And we're a discipleship based school.
Okay.
So what that means is we partner with Christian families, and so we are seeking to partner with like minded families that are striving to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to be one option of many educational options in Cookeville. And so the Christian aspect is really important to us. The way that the classical piece works with it, I would say, is wrapped up in the Greek word paideia. So mm-hmm. If your listeners are familiar with the book of Ephesians, there's a piece where the apostle Paul says to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And
right.
that's a fine English rendering, nurture and admonition. But really, there's not a great one-for-one translation of that word paideia. So in the Greco-Roman world, a paideia was a word that meant something like enculturation or all-encompassing or a way of life would have been a way that we would think about it. It's the root word where we get our word encyclopedia, which, of course, when we think encyclopedia, we think kind of a whole of learning or whole of knowledge. And so we talk about paideia at our school. What we're trying to do is pass on a certain way of life. It's a Christian way of life.
Sure.
And so we're seeking to nurture our students' souls on truth, goodness, and beauty. We say that a lot, truth, goodness, and beauty. We believe that if a student writes an essay, it should be full of true content. It should be good in its format, and it should be lovely. And so we take even the handwriting seriously. I remember many years ago one of our teachers saying that a student came up with his essay, and he said, Mrs. So-and-so, this essay is beautiful. And
that's what you want them to say.
And that's a highlight. They don't always say that, of course. But so I would say paideia, raising children in Christian enculturation. And, we believe that God has given the role of education to parents, mm-hmm. and then it's their job to decide how best to educate their children. And so we're thankful that in the Upper Cumberland, there's lots of options for that. And we exist to be one of those that parents might seek and to partner with them in that endeavor. So, but when their kiddos are at our school, we always say we're not in place of them. We're partnering with them, coming alongside them. And so the classical aspect is what we call the new old way.
Mm-hmm.
So paideia is one way to think of it. The other way to think of it is it's a really old way of education that's been done in Western civilization for hundreds and hundreds of years. Fallen a little out of favor the last maybe 150 years, and we're part of a movement all across the nation really to revive that in America. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what we mean when we say classical, and then how that pairs with what we mean when we say Christian.
Sure. And where are you located?
We currently lease Washington Avenue Baptist Church. So they've been a partner with us for many years. This is our, see if I get this right. This is our 18th school year.
Yeah.
We've always partnered with churches in our town. We're very thankful for our local churches. We were at Stephen Street Baptist Church for 1 year, the River Community Church for 4 years, and we've been at Washington Avenue for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
And so we've been there quite a while.
Yeah.
We fill up every nook and cranny of their building during the week. It's close quarters.
Now, how many students do you have enrolled there?
This year we have 250 K through 12.
Okay. Wow.
Students.
That's a good size.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how many staff and teachers and people do you employ to go along with that?
Great question. This is a combination of full and part-time folks, but there are 44 of us, including myself.
Okay.
The majority of those are full-time, but probably 25% of those folks are part-time. They may pop in to just teach a class or two, or to help do some administrative assistant work or teacher's aid work, maybe 2 or 3 days a week, but 44 of us.
Now, since you're bursting at the seams at Washington Avenue, I'd say there's probably something better on the horizon.
Lord willing. the Lord blessed us with being able to purchase a building not far from here on England Drive, kind of in the middle of town, where 111 and 40, I-40 intersect. And we're in the middle of a massive renovation project.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that for the better part of a year now, and striving to raise money for that and pay for it while we're trying to do the renovation all at one time. And our hope is to move in this year, mid-year.
Oh, great.
And so that's going to be a huge blessing because it's anybody that's familiar with our school knows it truly is tight quarters. And so we're looking for bigger hallways and bigger classrooms.
Yeah.
And I always joke with Washington Avenue. We have a great relationship with them, and I meet with their pastoral staff once a week. And I kind of joke sometimes. I think it's like if you needed to go stay at your father and mother-in-law's house, they'd be happy to have you come.
Right.
Especially bringing the grandkids.
Yes.
But after a few months, they'd probably be ready for you to find somewhere to
go.
And you'd probably be ready for your own space as well, even though you still love each other a lot. So we just fill up so much of their space. So it'll be a blessing for them to be able to recoup their space. And it'll be, of course, a blessing for us to have more space as well.
Now, how do people know about Highland Rim? I mean, how would the kids know to come? Where do you draw the students from?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that we try to empower our families, especially during enrollment season. We would say we love our families, and we would say, who do you know that's like-minded to you that might be interested in something like this for their children? And so a lot of word of mouth, I think, at people's churches, speaking to each other. And so we've had slow, steady enrollment increase. This is our 18th year, and we're at 250. And so you can see how that would be slow. I think our first year we had 22 students and five faculty and staff. This is my 13th year there. My 10th year as the head of school. I think my first year we had 88. So we've gone from 88 to 250.
Wow.
So it's just been a nice, steady, gradual increase. And that's been helpful for us to really maintain the culture that we enjoy. But we have waiting lists in so many of our grades now because of our lack of space. And so we have two sections in our kindergarten through seventh grade. We'd love to grow those all the way up and have two sections through our 12th grade, but we'll need those extra rooms. And but I think primarily word of mouth. And then we have a website, highlandrimacademy.org, that people will check out. And usually if people are searching Christian education options in Cookeville, they'll find that as well.
Well, and when you say Christian options, and I think you touched on this, you said you're not affiliated with any particular denomination.
Right.
And so I think that's something that I don't know if it would surprise people or not, but sometimes private schools are, associated with a particular church, and you would think, well, you're meeting at, Washington Avenue Baptist Church, so you're a Baptist school.
Right.
But that's not the case.
It's not the case. I myself am a proud Presbyterian, so we're not all Baptists. We have Presbyterians, Baptists, people from non-denominational churches, Methodist churches, Churches of Christ, Christian churches. So really abroad. In our enrollment, we're actually just talking today that of our 250 students, I think, are represented by roughly 40-something churches. And so we just have a really broad community of folks. And, yes, we are great partners with Washington Avenue, but we're not a ministry of their church or we're not a ministry of the Baptist denomination. We're independent. There are a lot of what are called church-related schools where a church might start their own school or something like that. And we are distinctly Christian, but we're not a ministry of any one particular church or school. So we're independent. We're run by an independent school board, just like many nonprofits are.
Okay.
And they bring on their own members, and I'm their one employee. And so that's kind of how we function.
And really honest, I mean, kind of a shout out to Washington Avenue for allowing a Christian school to be there that's not a Baptist school.
We really can't say nicer, more kind things about Washington Avenue and how they've let us be in their space for so long. And I mean, you can imagine 250 kids and 40 something more adults in the building. I mean, we put holes in sheetrock and we've torn doors off hinges and scuffed up floors that need replacing. And they're just kind to always let us have one more room when I go and ask if they can have one more room. And they've truly been wonderful. So we're very thankful for them, for that congregation.
So what's the distribution throughout the grades? You know, are you heavy in one area, light in another area kind of thing?
Great question. So I mentioned earlier, we have two sections or you may think of two classes in kindergarten through seventh grade.
Okay.
So the majority would be, I mean, the enrollment's essentially doubled in the K through seven from what it would be in the 8th through 12th grade. And so the seventh grade currently is our first class that we started two kindergarten classes with this seventh grade class, and they've kind of stuck together. And the Lord's blessed us with great retention. And so, I mean, we typically retain over 95% of our current students. And so most of the enrollment is in the kindergarten through seventh grade. As an example, I think for our 8th through 12th grade, most of those classes are somewhere this year around 8 to 12 students, 14 students. And then when you get in seventh grade and below, you essentially double that number because you have two classes in each grade. So in the 20s and close to 30 for those grades.
But they'll eventually get up there.
They'll eventually get up there. Assuming that we get in this building and have the rooms to put them in, they will get up there.
All right, we'll take a break. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters, where we are focusing on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we're talking with Nick Duncan, who is the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. Nick, you said you've been there 13 years. Tell us a little bit about your background. Had you been in the education profession before Highland Rim? Kind of what's your backstory?
Sure. Thanks for asking. Well, I loved school, and I decided I would never leave. And
okay.
So that's basically it in a nutshell. My mother she's recently retired the last few years, but she taught in the public school system in East Tennessee. I grew up in East Tennessee. Proud hillbilly from Appalachia.
All right.
And she taught in the public school system for over 30 years, and she was a English teacher, a humanities teacher, and she loved learning. My dad's a pastor. He's a Baptist pastor, and he was always reading and learning, and so it was just kind of in our part of our family culture. I loved to read. I loved learning. And so I pretty quickly knew that I wanted to go into education, and so I came to Tennessee Tech in Cookeville to major in history and secondary education. I wanted to be a history teacher. And when I graduated college, I actually started working at a glass shop here in Cookeville, of all places, installing commercial and residential glass.
Something a history teacher should be able to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Glass shop.
I love doing it. It was a wonderful job.
There you go.
And I was engaged to my now wife at the time, and she was also an education major, although elementary education. And we were both looking for teaching jobs and kind of a few degrees of separation, but a friend who had a sister who worked at Highland Rim Academy. And at that time, they were starting their high school program. They were just kind of through the middle school years. And he said, you should check this out. So I called and was able to go on a tour. And the first thing that the headmaster at the time gave me was an essay by a lady named Dorothy Sayers called The Lost Tools of Learning, which it's an essay now, but it was actually a talk that she gave. Dorothy Sayers is from London from England. And she was primarily a mystery author. She would hang out with the Inklings, C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien. And so she was an author, but she was giving a talk at Oxford to teachers who were graduating. And she was telling them that we should return to this older model. And she was talking about what we now call the classical model.
Yeah.
And she even says something in the essay about, no one will probably ever take me up on this. Yeah. It's kind of a crazy idea. And here we are, kind of 75 years later, and we're taking her up on it.
Yeah.
So I read that essay, and I was just kind of smitten by it. Mm-hmm. And I drank the Kool-Aid, as I guess you would say, and I've never looked back. And they offered me a job to teach in the high school, and there was a second grade opening, and my wife was hired to teach in second grade. She taught there for several years. She stays at home with our boys now.
Okay.
And so Highland Rim's been our life for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, other educational background. While I've been working at Highland Rim, I also pursued a master's degree in classical Christian education from New St. Andrews College from distance. Mm-hmm. It's located in Moscow, Idaho. And so to learn more about what I was doing and how I could better do it and how I could administrate the school that I'd been hired to administrate. And so we've really kind of poured our life into it for the last 13 years now. So.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your wife and your family.
Yeah, my wife, Stacy, she's, like I said, she taught at Highland Rim for 5 or 6 years, and she'll come and sub in on a maternity leave if we need her to every now and then. and she did a short-term leave for us even to begin the beginning of this year. And we have 3 boys, and 2 of them are at Highland Rim, and 1 of them still at home. And then she's actually pregnant right now with our, Lord willing, our 4th one.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, appreciate that. So, that's kind of our family. Yeah.
Now, I know that as the headmaster, I'm sure you have long days, and they're, like you said, you pour your life into Highland Rim Academy. But when you're not at Highland Rim Academy, what do you enjoy doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I enjoy a lot of things. I'm an elder at my church, so we're very involved at our church. We go to Grace Presbyterian Church in All Good, and we're very involved there. Also, I mentioned I'm from East Tennessee, so yeah. I love college football, and
yes.
I'm a huge Tennessee
now,
Vols
what part
fan.
Of East Tennessee?
I was born in Oak Ridge, lived in La Follette,
okay.
Kind of Campbell County.
Yes.
For many generations, the men in my family were coal miners.
Wow.
My dad and his brothers were the first ones not to mine coal in something like 7 generations. And so Cumberland Mountains,
yeah.
You know, Jellicoe Mountain.
Yes.
My papaw, he just turned 90 in June, and he's a preacher and still pastors, and he and he dug coal and owned his own coal mine when he was younger.
Now, did you go to Campbell County High School?
I did not because my dad's a pastor. We moved a little bit.
Okay.
So he took a call at a church in Western North Carolina for a few years near Boone, and then we came back to Morgan County. So I actually graduated from Coalfield High School in Morgan County.
All right.
He was pastoring in the Morgan County, Roane County area when I graduated high school. So I just went there for a few years.
Okay.
That's where I graduated from.
Yeah.
So I love East Tennessee. I love all of Tennessee. I'm Tennessee born and Tennessee bred. And I always say when I die, I'll be Tennessee dead.
Did,
so
yes.
I love the state of Tennessee. I love where we live. I think it's the most beautiful place in the country. I always said it. I think God didn't give us an ocean and coastline because it would be too much like paradise.
Right.
Because Tennessee would be too perfect, I think, if it had the ocean. So, of course, we got lakes and waterfalls and caves. But I love Tennessee. And so I'm my grandparents and my dad, Tennessee football fans. So I like to watch college football. I like Tennessee
yes.
football.
And thank goodness it's starting this weekend.
It's starting this weekend so that you can feel it in the air. My wife and I and our friends, we like to play board games. So
okay.
We go to the table board game lounge here
yeah.
in town, and we'll play board games. And so those are some of our interests and hobbies.
Well, that's neat. And I'm sure as a dad, you know, you're cultivating the different things with your sons and making them wear orange and things like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did yeah, you play any sports or anything when you were growing up?
I played baseball primarily.
Yeah.
Played baseball from as long as I can remember, all the way up through high school. I played a little bit of basketball in middle school, and then my last couple years of high school, I took it back up again and played. And then when I lived in North Carolina, I became interested in playing soccer. So I played soccer for a couple years. And even though I didn't grow up playing soccer, I found pretty quickly I kind of had a knack for it.
Yeah.
And then when my dad took a call back to East Tennessee, Coalfield, if anybody's ever been to Morgan County, yes. There's not a lot in Morgan County.
Yeah, there's not a lot of flat surfaces to be able to play soccer.
That's right. And and the flat surfaces they do have are reserved for football.
So, yes, absolutely.
So the high school coach there at the time, Gary Chris, who's passed now, he came and pulled me out of class and said, "Nick, I heard you played soccer when you were living in North Carolina." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Do you think you could kick a football?" And I said, "I don't know. I've never tried." So he asked me to come to practice that day. He lined up an extra point, and I kicked it, and it went through the uprights. And he patted me on the shoulder and said, "If you want a spot on the football team, you can kick for us." And he was such a funny guy. And so my junior and senior year, I kicked for our high school football team.
You kicked for Coalfield. Yeah. That's great. And you guys always had good teams.
Always had good teams. They still always have good teams. So, yeah, I still keep up with them from afar. Yeah. Go to a game every once in a while.
And Boone, North Carolina, that is a beautiful place over there. That is. Lees McRae College is there in Boone.
Lees McRae, Avery County. Banner Elk, Sugar Mountain, all
Banner
the ski
Elk.
Slopes. Yeah,
right.
I used to live.
Sugar Mountains up there.
We lived there for about 4 years, probably just 30 minutes from all those ski slopes.
And yeah.
Yeah, it truly is a beautiful place. My parents still live. They don't live in North Carolina, but they live as far east in Tennessee as you can get. So they live in the Tri-Cities area near Roan Mountain. So we still get to go over there and visit them.
All right. We're talking with Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. Matters with the Focus on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson. We're continuing our talk with Nick Duncan, who is the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. And Nick, I want to go back and talk about Highland Rim and some of the issues or some of the topics maybe that are hot button issues when you talk about private schools.
Right.
And I know one of the big things is safety, particularly with what happened in Nashville at the private school there. And you know, it's a parent's worst fear. It's a headmaster's worst fear. It's everybody's worst fear.
Absolutely.
Is for there to be tragedy inside a school. And in the public schools, they have the SROs that have been there inside those schools for quite some time. What does security look like at Highland Rim?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking that. It's the most consistent question we're asked by any family that tours our school, prospective family, especially, like you said, in light of what happened in Nashville a couple years ago, I guess a little over a year ago now. And the answer is that I mentioned earlier that I'm thankful to be a Tennessee and live in Tennessee. I'm thankful to live in the Upper Cumberland, and I'm thankful to live in Putnam County. And we have wonderful partnership with Putnam County Sheriff's Department.
Right.
And the day after the Covenant shooting happened, they sent an officer to our campus.
Wow.
To be there. And we've had an officer every day since. And so the state passed some legislation a little over a year ago that would allow for private schools in Tennessee, if they choose, to enter into a contractual kind of memorandum of understanding with their local police force. And have officers present on campus if they would like to. And we've taken advantage of that. So for the last 2 years, we've had a school resource officer at Highland Rim Academy as well.
Oh, that's great.
And they're tied into the same systems and communications as the SRO program that the public school utilizes in Putnam County. And it's been wonderful. I cannot speak highly enough of Sheriff Ferris and the SRO department in Putnam County. Our school resource officer, Deputy Brandon Gentry, is wonderful. We're so thankful for him.
Yeah.
He's constantly walking the campus, making sure that we're safe, thinking of ways that we can improve our school security. So the last couple of years, that's been the biggest boon to our school safety.
Yeah.
And then really a lot of our efforts are now focused on the new building and how do we make it a place that we don't want it to look and feel like a prison,
right.
You know, but we do want it to be hard enough to withstand serious threats. And so how can we, you know, security systems, what kind of doors and glass and safety film you put on your windows, looking at all of those sorts of options as we are renovating our own campus. And it's been really helpful to have the Putnam County SROs, the department speak into those safety decisions as well about what they think would be you know, cost effective, but still really, really effective practically in protecting our students. So really thankful for Sheriff Ferris and for the SRO program.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a good relationship there, and having that SRO on campus makes a big, big difference.
It's really huge because they just think about things that in ways that we don't
Absolutely.
Think about them.
Yeah.
And that's what they're supposed to do. And even though it's the things they have to think about are terrible, we're thankful that somebody thinks about them so that we can do our best to guard against them as much as within our power. We know you can't eliminate any threat, but the SRO program really, I think, for not just our school, but for all of our schools in Putnam County, is very heavily mitigating the potential threats that could take place in our schools.
Now, since it is a private school, obviously there's probably some cost associated with that.
There is.
And what do parents, they come to you and they say, you know, what do we do? How much is it? That kind of thing. What's the process that you go through there?
That's a great question. So kind of a little bit of a background, since we are an independent school, as I mentioned earlier, and we're not affiliated with any one church or denomination. So all of our tuition dollars covers our hard operating expenses. And that is such a blessing because we still do have an annual fund. We have fundraising and giving programs, but those things don't go to the day-to-day operational expenses. They go to kind of the extra programs or ministry opportunities that we hope to take advantage of. And the SRO program is one of those.
Okay.
So through our annual fund the last couple of years is how we have funded paying the county for our SRO. And our parents were, of course, more than happy, especially after the tragic events in Nashville, to give whatever was necessary to make sure that we're able to have an SRO in our school. And so through our annual fund, our annual fundraising and giving efforts is how we have funded that so far.
Yeah. Is it affordable for most people?
The tuition?
Yes.
The tuition is affordable for a lot of people, but
yeah.
But we're honest about the fact that it's not affordable for everyone.
Yeah.
But also another portion of our annual fund, every year for many years now, we will dedicate one of our fundraising events or part of our annual fund to a needs-based scholarship program.
Ah.
And our board every year, we have a program that we utilize where people can apply for financial aid scholarships.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this year we gave our board gave away $60,000 in needs-based scholarship tuition.
Wow.
And that's something we're really proud of because we know that it takes a lot of money to run any school. And since we do have to charge tuition to cover the cost of our school, it's a real boon to families to be able to apply for those scholarship dollars because we don't want our school to just be a school that only a certain socioeconomic bracket of folks could afford. We want it to be affordable to everyone. And so we tell people, don't let the price tag, you know, we're not ashamed of it. It's on the website under the tuition tab, but don't let that scare you away.
Yeah.
Please still come and tour the school and talk about what options are available because there's a lot of opportunity for access to HRA through our needs-based programs.
And what about the opportunities for athletics with 250 kids and you know, you don't have a football field at Washington Avenue, so obviously you don't have football, but I mean, what are some of the athletic opportunities that some of the students have?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're really proud that we've been working hard to grow our athletics program over the last decade or so. So we tend to have one season or one sport per season, and some of those, of course, overlap, but like right now we have fifth grade and up, we have cross country going on. Our cross country program is really big and vibrant. And even the students that are younger than fifth grade, their parents can partner with the cross country program and the little ones will come and run as well. And so we have them from little primary students all the way up through seniors that run cross country. We also, this time of the year, have a girls volleyball team, middle school and high school.
Yeah.
Girls volleyball
program. And they've been pretty successful.
They have been successful. Yeah. They we have a Division I and a Division II category in our conference. We're in a conference of other small private schools in Tennessee, mostly based in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. But you have other schools that are like you that you're able to play against.
Other schools that we can play against.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we can compete against. And our volleyball girls. Our girls have really been stronger than our boys. The boys hear this, they'll be upset at me, but it's just true, fellas. But the girls have had stronger athletics program up to this point.
Yeah.
Our girls, middle school and high school basketball girls, our high school basketball girls have won that Division II title a couple times.
Wow.
And the volleyball girls are also really successful. And but we are hopeful that our high school boys are going to make a good run this year. So they're still young, but they've been playing together for several years now.
Yeah.
We got a good group of sophomores and juniors and only a couple seniors, but we're hoping to send those guys out strong. And so middle school and high school boys basketball as well. And then we have a co-ed soccer team that plays together in the spring.
Okay. That's interesting.
Our conference has a option for co-ed soccer. And so we had a really pretty good co-ed soccer team last year as well.
Wow.
So that's where we're at right now. And we hope to continue to add more athletics in the future.
I was going to say, you're a private school that doesn't have golf. I mean, come on, man.
I know. That seems like low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can play golf.
Anybody can play.
Boys, girls, everybody. And you got some great golf courses here.
We need
I'm going to petition for a Highland Rim golf team. I think
we need to get that going.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We've talked about costs, safety, athletics. Is there anything in particular that an issue or misconception about private school or anything that you want to address while we've got a couple of minutes here?
Sure. Let's see. You know, one thing that I think folks, when they see classical or they read about classical,
mm-hmm.
I think pretty quickly people can get into this stereotype. It can be stereotyped as just a humanities curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Because when our kids get into seventh grade, we take history, literature, and theology. We jumble it all into one big class. It's about 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And we call it great books.
Okay.
And they go through the ancient, medieval, and the modern period in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And then they do it again in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, just with different texts.
Yeah.
And so people hear that, and it's so different. And we talk about it a lot because it's so different that I think sometimes we get pigeonholed as like, well, they're just a great book school or a humanities school, and all they do is read. And we do read a lot.
Yeah.
But – we always like to brag that our math and science scores on our college entrance exams and our other standardized tests are way higher. I say way higher. They're higher on average than our reading and our writing scores. Yeah. So
yeah.
I always say we're a math school. I always say classical education is it does math really well. And that's a testimony to not even really just the curriculum, but the fact that we have really great math teachers. So we have four or five folks with PhDs that teach at Highland Rim, some part-time, some full-time. The lady that teaches most of our high school math also, she's a doctor of math, and she a doctor of computer science and has a master's in math. And she also teaches at Tech some. And so we're just been really blessed with, wonderful teachers. And, so our average, you know, ACT score is a 28.
Wow, that's great.
All time for all of our students that have taken it. And that number is raised by the math scores, you know. So if that's an average, then our math may be more like 29-30 and our reading may be more like 26-27. So so classical education is a math education. So.
Real quickly, you talked about the growth since you've been there. What do you attribute to the growth of going from 80-something students to now 250 students?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you asked our parents that, I think most of them would say the small classes are a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them would say, a lot of Cookeville's become a more, I don't know if transient's the right word, but we've had a lot of people move to Tennessee generally.
Oh, absolutely.
From a lot of other places the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And so, whereas private education's maybe not as familiar in small rural places, more like where we live in the Upper Cumberland. But it's much more familiar, I think, in places like where people are moving from, West Coast, places like that. And so I've had a lot of family interest from people that have moved from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think, too, that I'm biased because I've been there for so long and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's in my bones. But it's just it's a stellar school and it's a sweet culture. And if people will come and take a tour and see the smiles and hear the laughter and sit in on a class and watch the students – I said, I drink the Kool-Aid. People start to drink that Kool-Aid because they want to be a part of that because it's truly just a sweet school. So I would say that the school really and truly does sell itself when you come and, there's just something in the air at HRA that makes it a special place and people want to be a part of that.
So. Spoken like a true headmaster.
Yeah.
Yes. Nick Duncan, our guest this week, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. Nick, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. Thanks again to Nick Duncan. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.